I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Violence has been declining in Iraq during the past year, but there are at least a couple of exceptions to the trend. Diyala province, for example, remains one of the centers of insurgent activity, and army recruitment centers are still a favorite target. Sure enough, today, two suicide bombers attacked a recruiting center in Diyala province. 35 people were killed. Distraught relatives crowded a local hospital for news of their loved ones. Again, that's a hospital in Diyala province, north of Baghdad. Major Neil Fisher is a spokesman for coalition forces in Baghdad now. Can you tell us just what happened today in Bakuba in Diyala province?
Oh, absolutely, Lisa. The reports that we received from our coalition partners there in the Diyala province is that two insurgents, one in an IP, Iraqi police uniform, and one in civilian attire, essentially blended in with the crowd and detonated their suicide vests. We have good days and we have bad days. Today was not a good day.
There have been days like this for the past 5 years at recruitment centers throughout Iraq. How come the Iraqi forces and the coalition forces, including Americans, haven't yet been able to find safer ways to process the recruits in Iraq?
Well, I think you're looking at it from the wrong perspective, Lisa. What we're finding is that our Iraqi forces, specifically the ones in areas like what happened here in Bakuba, those men know their neighbors. They know who fits in. They know the ones who are not from their community. And more often, they're finding those bombers and disarming them before they get a chance to detonate. Obviously, we wish that they were catching more, but I think that the number is significantly lower than it would have been otherwise if it was just us being Americans, trying to identify these insurgents.
Well, then in a case like this today, for instance, with the suicide bombers, is it that nobody happened to say anything? Nobody realized that these people were, well, is it that perhaps these people were familiar to the recruits who were standing in line?
Possibly. We have a lot of programs in place to give the locals an alternative to accepting money from the Al-Qaeda insurgents or whomever to plant these bombs or to martyr themselves. But in some cases, it becomes a game of odds. And in this particular case, out of hundreds of young men in line to get a job with the police force up there, you had two with bad intentions.
We had heard earlier from a commander of multinational forces north in Iraq that in the case of this particular suicide vest cell, as he called it, there was some advance notice that something was up, that something was going to happen. How do you get information about things like that? And once you know something might happen, what can you do about it?
Well, just like anywhere else, we receive tips from informants. And, you know, when you personalize it, these are people whose brothers and sisters and sons and daughters are going out and standing in these lines. And inevitably, someone knows what's going on, and they don't want their loved one hurt or injured.
Why do you think that the Iraqi citizens keep lining up to be recruits?
Because they have hope in their country. They see a better way forward. They see the light at the end of the tunnel, as far as I'm concerned.
And they need money.
That too. We all need money.
We all need money. Major, I wonder if you don't mind if I ask you a bit of a personal question. How long have you been in Iraq, and is this your first time there?
This is not my first time here. I'm a U.S. Marine. This is my second time here. This is my first non-combat tour.
First non-combat.
In a little different perspective of what's happening here.
What were you doing last time?
Last time I was with the Special Police Transition Team.
Where was that? In Baghdad?
It was in Baghdad for a while, north of Baghdad for a while, in Anbar province for another while. It was a pretty long tour and a lot of miles around this country.
How long ago was that? Do you mind my asking?
That was in 2005 and 2006.
So that was prior to the surge. It was also a time when there was a significant amount of difficulty in trying to get Iraqi forces, security forces, and police forces to be able to maintain any kind of security. I wonder, just from your own perspective now, you're in a non-combat role right now, what's the difference between then and now?
I think one of the underlying things that I've noticed is that there seems to be more confidence in the air in terms of the difference being when I was here, there seemed to be a prevailing thought of we need you guys here. We need you to stay here. You can never leave. That doesn't necessarily seem to be the case now.
You're saying Iraqis saying that we need Americans and coalition forces here. They said that, what, in 2005, and now you don't hear it so
much?
Yes,
ma'am. And now I'm not hearing that now. Now I'm seeing I'm an inner-city kid, and we use the term swagger. You're seeing a little bit more of a swagger in some of the Iraqi forces.
Is it deserved?
You know, they've had a lot of successes in their operations, and I think they have a lot to be proud of, and that wasn't necessarily the case before.
Okay.
Still a little cautious, but you can see the confidence there, and that's definitely a good thing.
And you may or may not want to weigh in on this, but a good thing that that Americans and multinational forces are still there now or not?
I think it's certainly an assistance. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm a Marine. I'm going to be here whether we think it's good or not.
All right. Major Neil Fisher in Baghdad, coalition spokesperson. Thank you very much, Major.
Thank you.